Hello, Internet! Welcome to episode 217 of the Assorted Calibers podcast, the Second Amendment podcast that's a little bit for everyone. I'm Weirdbeard, and tonight is an ACP roundtable on our dais. Of course, we have the loveliest hostess of all, Erin Paulette!
Why are we recording on a Tuesday?
It's not Tuesday.
But we recorded last night, Weird.
Oh, yes!
living up to Oddball's title.
This is how I feel every night, because yes, Erin was on Handgun Radio and we record that on a Sunday, and so this is the second night in a row of podcasting that Erin has done.
Yeah, it's felt like Tuesday for most of the day for me. And it's like, crap.
Erin, are you feeling like the podcast bicycle now?
No.
Okay, good. Because I'm sure that Heinrich and Matt would love to have you on Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns.
I've already been twice.
No, I meant this week.
When do they record?
I thought it was like a Wednesday.
I think so.
I don't know if they're actually consistent.
See.
Because you know, there's a lot of children involved.
Well, see, Wednesday is when I game Pathfinder. So. So, no, I'm sorry. Actually, shan't be available, but actually, you know, like Wednesday a month, yes, actually, one Wednesday a month we have off because our GM wants to go do grown-up things with his fiance, and so,
ew.
I know, and so I could probably be free whichever Wednesday that is.
So when you say wants to go do grown-up things, how should we take that?
Any way you want it, big boy.
Okay. Let's put it this way. I've got my good friend has like some sort of company get together. So he's like, yeah, we might need you to watch the kids for an evening. And I'm like, yeah, not a problem at all. We can have a sleepover at our house, or we can go over to your place and hold up the fort. Doesn't matter to me, and all that. But I'm like, if you guys are going out for the evening, you got to bang before we give the kids back. He said, you've got to return reeking of sex.
Oh, and I hope you don't mind if they learn some new words while they're here.
I mean, his oldest daughter is always like, there are children present. So that was the voice of David. Hey, David, how you doing?
Better that I'm now back in a civilized country.
Yeah. Why don't you give like just a brief overview of your trek for the listeners?
My wife and I had to drive up to New York for a week to help my aunt go through her recently deceased husband's belongings and then have my mother's year-long delayed unveiling and memorial service. And then we came home.
I mean, that is just a cocktail of grief right there, David. I'm big, big, big hugs to you, man. That's rough.
And I don't drink alcohol.
That is true.
I love how there's just dead silence for like 5 seconds after I say that, as everyone processes.
Well, I'm just saying that you don't drink alcohol because you don't like the taste. So there's an end of you that doesn't have taste buds.
There is that.
I am not getting an alcohol enema.
Come on, baby. Don't be uptight.
The technical term is butt chugging.
It's a high colonic and I'm not interested.
Clean you right out.
Although I do wonder if you made a CBD oil enema, that would really be a high colonic.
That'd be THC.
Yeah, we'd have to be the THC because the CBD
work
is not.
Work with me here,
not,
people. Work with me here.
Is not the stuff that creates jazz music. And of course, we have Oddball.
I'm just wondering, what's the point if it's not creating jazz music?
I mean, I'm of the same way. I mean, I guess it's. I was actually taught, my sister-in-law uses CBD, and she says, you know, it does have an effect. It's just not the psychotropic effect. So I've actually got to assume it actually. I wonder if it's probably closer to like the effects of nicotine, where you smoke a cigarette and you feel very, very good, but also at the same time, it's not impairing your judgment or movement. You could smoke a cigarette while driving, and no one has a problem with that.
Of course,
in Massachusetts, now that marijuana is decriminalized, people really enjoy smoking the jazz cigarettes while driving. I always will like get a whiff of weed and then suddenly the light will turn green and the smell will go away. And I'm like, oh, come on, guys. Be a little classier, please.
It's also decriminalized in New York City. And we went to dinner in Columbus Circle one night and walked up to 89th Street. And every third person we passed, it seemed like, had a cloud of that. And, you know, I'm fine with people polluting themselves in their own way. My problem is I have an allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a pretty miserable walk. Not to mention the fact that if you've seen any of Lewis Rossman's videos about what New York City has turned into, he's soft soaping it. It was like the 70s version of New York City. I saw more homeless people sleeping on the streets, more trash and filth, more vandalized, empty, boarded up stores than I remember in the last 30 years.
Crazy.
Yep. Oh, and they still have those shanties built out on the streets in front of restaurants, which makes a horrible parking situation much, much worse.
The shanties, are for outdoor dining?
So during the height of COVID, restaurants were not allowed to have people eat inside in New York City. So what the restaurants did was they basically built little structures on the curb. So they were off the sidewalk. They were in the parking lane of the street. And some of them were fully enclosed, had air conditioning, lights, heat. They were little buildings, literally. Some of them were two stories. And because that was, quote unquote, outside, they could have as many patrons as they wanted dining there. And even though a lot of the restrictions have been relaxed, the shanties have not gone away because, hey, they're not paying property tax on that. And they can fit 10, 20, 30 more people and increase their revenues. So until the city comes along and says, you got until this date to tear it down, they're going to stay. So yeah, it was New York City has never been my favorite place. It much less my favorite place.
Understandable. And of course we have Jake the Egghead in his triumphant return to the ACP roundtable.
I don't know about triumphant, but there is a return. So I'll give you that.
We've missed you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I kind of feel like we could have had an AA moment and all just said, hi, Jake.
Hi, Jake. Hi.
Yeah, but I'm not looking to quit any of these devices. Thank you very much.
It's been 6 weeks since I bought a firearm or firearm accessory.
I got you beat. I just got my Wilson Combat frame from my SIG P365. But
it's been a little while since I've bought a firearm or firearm accessory. But I just bid on something on GunBroker, so.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm still waiting for them to contact me. You said it takes a while, but a little bird on my shoulder that might be a Jewish bird flitted into my ear and sent me an auction listing from Hennessy Auction Company of a Remington 1891 Mosin Nagant. And I wanted that real bad, and hopefully they'll contact me soon, so I won't want one anymore because it's mine.
And Jake, in response to your deeply distressing admission, have you checked out the Primary Arms website lately?
I actually don't remember exactly when I bought my last firearms accessory. I just threw a number out there, but 6 weeks sounds about right since I bought my PEC 2.
Yeah.
So.
I haven't bought a firearm in a while, although I did acquire three more this week.
Yeah, I've been putting it into some of the night vision gear. I've gotten into drones, and that's another hobby that, you know.
The drones have night vision?
Not yet. Give me time. Although, oh my god, can you imagine if my like $3,000 night vision goggle just got carried away on a rogue wind? I would cry.
Or by a raptor. Just stoops on it and knocks out of the sky.
Yeah.
But
so we were talking actually before the show started about David just posted a picture of a sporterized Lee Enfield with the bayonet, but doesn't appear to have the bayonet lug.
Not anymore.
And It looks like a 22. Is that a 22 semi-auto?
Yes, it is a Winchester Model 74.
Nice.
Okay.
So the magazine tube goes up through the buttstock. So yes, we're going to take it from behind.
Oh, that's a little hole. Is that like a King's? Is that a King's loading gate?
Not exactly. It's more like the
Nylon Spencer. 66.
Or Nylon 66 to be more modern. But yeah, you basically a half turn at the rear of the buttstock, you pull the magazine tube out, and then you can just drop the rounds in through the hole in the stock. And when you push the magazine tube forward, it compresses the string, and there you go.
Nice.
I get you. My Nylon 66, you have to take the tube all the way out and just drop them in like most guns.
Nice.
Yeah, so this might be more like this,
like the Marlins and all that.
Well, I was thinking also there was also Browning, the Auto 22 has a similar system.
Okay.
Is the tube at the buttstock, is it captive or does it come all the way out?
It can come all the way out. It's supposed to be captive.
Okay.
But
I mean, I'm sure there's got to be a way to take it out for cleaning, but I was just thinking it'd be nice if it was captive because you'd be less likely to like drop it in the woods somewhere.
Yeah. So it's, like I said, it's supposed to be captive. When you pull it out, it does come out all the way. There's a little groove at the end of the tube where a little spring, like kind of like a gas ring on an AR. Huh? But there's a little spring clip that would be there that it keeps it from falling out. But if you give it a tug, it would compress the spring and allow the tube to be removed entirely.
So it's like a little detent, kind
of. Sort of. It's.
Oh, functionally similar, at least, if not mechanically similar.
It's a ring spring clip, and it's in remarkably good shape. Unfortunately, at some time in its life, someone decided that they needed to mount a scope on it and drilled holes in the side of the receiver, one of which goes through one of the digits of the serial number.
Ew. Oh, well, that's creative.
Yeah, especially since the Model 74, based on what I can read from the serial number, this one was made in the 50s, which means technically didn't need a serial number.
Well, I mean, at least there's that. If it did need a serial number, it might be a little more problematic, right?
Yeah, so I can make out most of the digits. It's just that one digit is partially obscured by the hole, but it's pretty clear, just based on the style of the font, which digit it is. But
usually it's the digit that obscures the hole, not the other way around.
But hey!
I know that's going to be edited out, but I needed to throw it in there for the blooper reel.
I'm keeping that. That's delicious.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That was perfectly clean. There was nothing profane about it.
Exactly. If you think Aaron said anything dirty, that's in your filthy mind. She was just simply talking about serial numbers.
Yes.
It's
the difference between someone taking something literally as stated and putting their own emotional overlay. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Genesis song Invisible Touch. If you consider those lyrics literally, it's a horrifying song.
Same with It's Raining Men.
I assume you've seen the meme about how It's Raining Men and Let the Bodies Hit the Floor are basically the same song from two radically different viewpoints.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, that's one of my fonder ones. I have shared that on more than one occasion.
Yeah. As for me, yes, I got my Wilson Combat grip module for my SIG so that I can both upgrade it to Gucci Wilson Combat, which just seems really, really nice. And for like short money, I think it was like $70 including shipping. And then I got the module that does not have the cutout for the safety. So unfortunately my safety, my mass compliance safety for my SIG P365 won't fit in this. So I'll have to remove it.
That's just a damn shame.
Could take a Dremel to the new grip frame.
I literally Dremeled the grip frame on a Legion grip mod for my 320 because I like my manual safety.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's one of those, I keep it off in my pocket, and it's one of those things that, like, if I'm just kind of sitting around not doing anything, I'll stick my thumb down into the pocket holster just enough to feel the safety, just to make sure that it is in the position of which I originally selected.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, the, but yeah, so that's through that, but I have been absolutely slammed busy since it arrived. On Friday, my daughter woke up complaining that she wasn't feeling good. And I guess she woke up in the middle of the night and wasn't doing well. We were recording film tracks. So my wife fielded that one. And then she was out at school on Friday. And then she was mostly feeling all right. And then this weekend we had my parents down, and the goal was, my mom is a extreme neat freak. My mom is an aggressive cleaner. Like, you have to be careful, because she will throw away stuff that you like just because she doesn't like the way it looks on the shelf. So we got my mom in, and essentially we took, our garage has been a horrible mess. Because essentially we have, probably for the last several years, just throw it in the garage has been like the emergency solution for if something needs to get moved around. And so you
had the less depressing version of my week.
Probably. And so, yeah, we pulled everything out of the garage down to the bare walls, swept out all the dirt and debris that had collected over the years, and then picked out stuff that needed to go back and stuff that didn't need to go back, and donated the stuff that we could donate. We had 1-800 Got Junk show up and haul off everything else. So it feels really, really good to actually have a usable garage again, but at the same time, whew. And then of course my daughter woke up this morning with the, my ear hurts. I'm like, yeah, we'll keep you home from school and go to the doctor's office. And that's just been the whole day. Go to the doctor's office. She has an ear infection. Luckily, it was one of those, she barely has an ear infection, so it's going to clear up fast. And turned out the sore throat that she had on Friday wasn't strep. So that's another thumbs up. And and then go get the medicine, and we walked into the drugstore because she was getting antsy and grumpy, and I'm like, you need to get outside. And so got a nice walk in, hit the library, yada yada yada, and now I'm sitting down with you guys. So that, it's just been a whirlwind. But so, shall we get to the topics?
Sure. Well, how's Aaron's week?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, she did. We talked about Handgun Radio. Anything else, Aaron?
This is already going to be a long-ass episode, because we farted around for an hour before we started recording, and then we've been talking about how our lives have been for, like, 20 minutes. I'm going to say pass, so that we can get done before midnight.
Fair enough. So, yeah, this I called you all together. We actually have enough segments for an episode. We'll push those on to next week, but there were like a ton of topics that were coming up, and I said, "You know what? This is good for a round table." And so, the one that I wanted to lead off on is kind of the story that everybody's been talking about, which is this story on credit card companies creating a new code for purchases done for guns and ammunition retailers. And I am still not 100% sure how this works. I've got one article here that, what website is this? Oh, this is actually directly from Elizabeth Warren's website. Talking about Elizabeth Warren is behind this. As a Mass resident, I apologize. I have voted against her every chance I've had. She is using her Wall Street connections to pressure the gun companies to make a special code so that when your credit card is swiped at a store that sells guns and ammunition, it is different than if you're at a Starbucks or at a store that just sells knives.
Actually, the merchant code has already been created. It's been created by ISO, International Standards and something or other.
Okay. Yeah. So this is the European code that's being adopted for
International Organization for Standardization. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they've already gone ahead and created the merchant code for firearms and ammunition purchases. And a lot of the credit card companies have just gone ahead and adopted it. Even though, interestingly enough, Visa spoke out against it, but they still agreed to adopt the MCC designation. So
I'm not sure if they necessarily have the choice to not adopt it if it's part of the ISO structure.
There's also the issue of, I know that there were a couple banks that said that absolutely we want to do this. And if Visa works with them, at, you know, handing out their bank cards, et cetera, it's the question of the, okay, do we want to make the stand on this, or do we want to and lose this bank as a customer? Or do we want to just go, okay, fine, whatever? And while Visa did make the statement of, you know, we are not a law enforcement agency, it's not up to us to, we're not supposed to be regulating this stuff, but also Visa isn't necessarily a pro-gun organization, so is that a hill they're willing to die on?
Right.
What I think is really interesting about this is, and admittedly, I haven't done the research, so I am taking Visa's spokes drone at its word, but they said that this is basically useless for the intended purpose. The intended purpose, according to Senator Warren's virtue signal, is that, well, the most recent spree shootings have been done with, you know, mass purchases on credit cards. And so if they adopt this monitoring, then we can prevent mass shooters by magic, apparently. Because, well, so I'm jumping ahead. So that's why Warren wants to do this. It is to hopefully prevent mass shooting. And
by magic.
Well, so first of all, this depends on law enforcement actually doing their job.
Well, that's how they prevented a whole bunch of the most recent
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm really getting tired of the statement, the shooter was known to law enforcement. You know, if they're not going to do their job, what good is this? But there's also the fact, circling around to what the Visa spokes drone said, is that the information that they get does not itemize what is bought. It is simply a total.
It's a vendor code more than anything
else. You know, someone bought $100 at a gun store, and that could be a gun, that could be ammunition, that could be $100 worth of beef jerky. No one knows.
Yep.
Now,
well, and to further that, you know, for most people, actual gun purchases are kind of anomalies on their purchase history.
Yep.
And if you go in and you buy a $2,000 rifle, okay, you just spent $2,000 at a gun shop for perfectly legit reasons. But
yeah,
that's
it's just a,
not
again,
a
it's
usual
chilling,
thing for you.
It's the chilling effect concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, as someone who worked at several firearms retailers, is the credit card companies already know the companies that are charging. There might not have been a special code for gun shops, but it wouldn't take a very complicated query to pull all the purchases from the gun shop customer list.
Yeah, you could probably cross-reference FFL addresses with addresses that the Visa company uses and get basically the same list, I'd imagine.
Pretty much.
Well, I mean, what strikes me about this is it's like, it's what happens when people try to regulate a community that they really just don't understand, because there's this thing that I see come up a bunch where it's, well, he had 300 rounds of ammunition. Yeah. And it's put in like scare quotes. And I'm like, that's a single box. Like, that's like a half box of 22.
That's a good day at the range.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll go through that in a day, easy. And they're like, oh, no one needs over 1,000 rounds of ammunition. I'm like, I took a training class that burned through 1,000 rounds of ammunition in 2 days.
Yep.
So it's like they're not capturing what they think they capture, because the mass shootings require like a handful of boxes of ammunition. Maybe. So it'd be like trying to regulate drunk driving by controlling the amount of gasoline you can buy at one time. It's like the quantity that you buy is not an indicator of anything about what you're trying to do with it.
Years ago, I ordered a case of 22. That was 10,000 rounds of 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, but I mean, how many years ago? I wonder if that was back when you could have done that for like $17. But
now it was smokeless powder.
Okay,
so it was $20.
So my real question here is, I'm not sure if this is a law that is being passed out of ignorance and the desire to do something, or if it is a backdoor. It's not so much a backdoor registry as some people have claimed, but in addition to the chilling effect that David mentioned, what you can do is begin tracking the purchasing habits of people, and you can tell, okay, you know, this person regularly buys, you know, well, whatever, from a gun store. This is a regular gun consumer. We should maybe keep more of an eye on them, assuming, of course, law enforcement does its job, you know, rather than the person who makes this, you know, the one-time purchase because of a hunting trip.
Well, and to clarify, there has been no law passed on this. This right. is...
Oh, we are so past passing laws now. Really, all Congress or the president has to do is make a vague gesture, maybe sign an executive order, and the regulatory agencies fall all over themselves. But I digress. You have the floor again.
This is the credit card industry voluntarily doing this at the behest of Congress critters, but... There's nothing technically government involved in this. This is the credit card industry doing it to themselves.
Other than, as Aaron pointed out, the president or Congress saying we need to do something, and
right.
So there's no legislation, but you can't really say there's no government involvement.
Well, as in there. It's not a regular. It's not a government regulatory agency. It's not a law.
It's not a law. It's not regulation. I agree 100% there, but it's still the government saying we need to do something, and the industry saying we'll do something.
Right now, as Aaron pointed out, and as others pointed out, quite frankly, I'm looking at this and not really seeing this as being much of anything while people are screaming that the sky is falling. Because like Visa said, this is okay, cool. We're classifying gun shops using this code that's specific to them. We're not going to actually be regulating saying that, oh no, you can only spend $500 at this shop a month or whatever. It's
they're not doing any kind of limit.
And to that point, the merchant codes are like oddly specific. I started flipping through them, and there's like a merchant code for shoe stores, for wig and toupee stores, for furriers. It's like, I mean, there's already a bunch of these categories. I mean, I can definitely see it being abused. I would bet money that if this becomes really widespread, somebody somewhere is going to try and use it as a red flag criteria, rightly or wrongly, and definitely wrongly. But, you know, the fact that ISO put the code in and some credit card companies are putting it in doesn't strike me as super, like, in and of itself out of the ordinary.
Right. And I think previously gun shops were bundled in with the same code as sporting goods stores.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Back
in the day, pretty much every sporting goods store did sell guns.
Right.
And circling back to something Aaron said about, like, supposedly they want to use this to catch mass shooters. My impression, I can't exactly cite numbers on, but my impression was typically mass shooters, like, go out and buy one gun and some ammunition and then go do the mass shooting. Like, your typical mass shooter is not somebody who's been building up his gun collection for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what good is it going to possibly be?
Well, and on top of that, yes, they typically buy a couple guns, but they also typically buy a couple guns well in advance of when they actually do the deed.
There's so, they gotta
take all their dumb Facebook photos first.
There's actually a meme to this that I just put into the chat. I'm sure you've all seen. How many guns should a normal person have? About 5. That sounds like a gun enthusiast to me. No, a gun enthusiast has 15. That sounds like someone obsessed with guns. No, people obsessed with guns have hundreds. That sounds like a psycho. No, psychos seldom own guns or just get one or two. That sounds like a normal person, though. No, a normal person has about 5. We already covered that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the normal person number is quite low. That's rookie numbers. They need to pump those up.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how quickly they add up. You're like, oh, I just want one or two, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I really don't have a handgun in 22, and then it's I don't have a large handgun in 22, and then it's I don't have a 16-inch gun in this particular caliber
that's or configuration this particular class, or yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, Jake, I don't think you've heard necessarily this from me, but it's something that's come up in conversation is a number of years ago, my wife asked me, if money was not an object, how many guns would I want? And I said one of each. She's like, one of each what? I'm like, one of each ever made. She's like, well, if you're going to do that, you should open a museum. I'm like, oh, you're right. Two of each. So I can display both sides.
Yeah. My problem is like, I want a gun for every purpose, but purposes are sort of fractal. When you get down to specializations, and you can just, there is no bottom.
It's like my love for the Mossberg Shockwave. I think it is a gun that has a purpose. It is not a silly range toy. That's the Mossberg Chainsaw.
I have one word on that topic. One word and only one word. Altor.
Yes. But the Mossberg Shockwave, yeah. No, it's got some uses. It is a functional firearm. The question is, at what instance will that small compact shotgun be exactly what you need, but you wouldn't be able to have a full sized shotgun? I mean, it's one of those that need exists, but boy, you're slicing that hose hairs really thin.
Inside a vehicle, perhaps? Oh, and David, the proper purpose for the Altor is the gun that you give the opponent in a pistol duel. That is why you have them.
I don't know. I was able to ring steel with that thing with my offhand, one-handed.
Okay, fair.
That's better than the guy who designed it. For his there's a promotional video on the Altor YouTube channel where he pulls the gun out of a garbage nylon sausage sack in the Arizona desert, or it might be New Mexico. Is it New Mexico or Arizona, Oddball?
It's irrelevant.
I don't remember exactly.
But yeah, pulls it out and has like a target at the target like less than 15 feet away, just stuck into the ground, and shows how to take the gun off of safe, and then squeezes off around and misses it clean.
Did you do the proper air quotes when you said safe?
No, I didn't. But thank you, David. Thank you for the correction.
To be fair, the guy didn't want to spend more on his marketing videos than on his production equipment.
Valid. Although he might have already done that by the price of the camera. Unless it was his cell phone that he already had.
I think the target was like a third of the cost of his manufacturing equipment.
Maybe. Have you heard Oddball's explanation from the website of the rifling?
Ooh, this will be good.
Oh, let me pull it up.
Yeah, might as well quote it properly. I know this has nothing to do
while Oddball's looking that up, I will just put a closing thought is I certainly see it as being potentially rife for abuse. In that they could slide in and just say, all right, cool, this credit card code is invalid. But at the same time, like you said, this is for merchants. It's not like when, I mean, I just got my credit card bill today. It just says who took the money and how much money they took. Yep. And
I saw an article earlier today, but unfortunately I didn't think to grab the link, about a group of gun shops who are getting ATMs put in their stores.
Yes. I was gonna close with that.
But by that logic, though, you know, can't the banks track the ATM withdrawals and figure out, well, you're withdrawing cash at an ATM that's located in a gun store. It is not the camouflage you think it is.
I mean, it's exactly the same as swiping your credit card at Bob's gun shop, you know?
Yeah. Pretty much.
To a degree, yes. However, there have been plenty of times I've gone into the local, when I lived up in New York, our local gas station had an ATM in the gas station, and I would stop on the way home, go in, make a withdrawal from the gas station, but I wasn't getting gas or anything at the gas station.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
ATM fix commercials.
Yeah, my grocery store has a little bank branch in it, and I will be buying groceries because that's why I'm at the grocery store. But I will then, when I'm done buying my groceries, I'll saunter up to the ATM and make a withdrawal if I happen to be a little low on cash. But it's not like I'm spending the cash in the grocery store. A bunch of gun stores have said that they're installing ATMs in their gun stores so that you can pay for it with cash. Certainly at this point in time, that is just the ATM code. Even though it is the major credit card companies that tend to run debit cards, it is a debit card, not a credit card. So I don't know how different that is, but the point I was getting at is that.
Oh, that's right. You were getting to a point.
Yes. We were having a discussion about when I was talking about when I did my last Weird Audio Fisk about them talking about bad apple gun dealers. And I believe it was Sean who said this to me, but essentially pointed out, yeah, the bad apple gun dealers are like Walmart and Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's and Gander Mountain. And
they're not so much bad apples as they just don't care enough to train their employees.
No, I don't even know what's that. It's just simply volume and location. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but bad apple implies malicious intent.
That is the implication. That is not the truth. Is
right. That's what I'm saying. They're not bad apple gun dealers. They're just because.
Isn't that the base rate fallacy?
All a bad apple gun dealer is allegedly is a gun store that has had a portion of their sales tied back to ATF traces. And as far as I could tell, essentially it's if you live in a gun store that is close to a high crime area, you're going to be a bad apple gun dealer because the people that bring home guns are the people that are more likely to be burglarized and have their guns stolen. And there's no malicious intent. There's no nothing. It is just literally these people are buying guns because they're frequently victims of crime. And possibly one of the crimes that they may be a victim of is guns getting stolen.
Or quite frankly, if folks are actually halfway intelligent about their straw purchases, it is impossible for dealer to actually know about it.
Well, I call to the court's attention one of the incidents that occurred right before then Governor Cuomo pushed through the SAFE Act was a man had been released from prison for beating his grandmother to death with a hammer. After he got out of prison, he murdered his sister and set her house on fire. And when the fire department showed up, he started shooting at them from across the road.
Now, he's a nice guy.
Right. I mean, this is a felon who was released from prison, I think, 2 weeks earlier.
Right.
His girlfriend, who had a perfectly clean record, went and bought the firearm. Mm-hmm. And
for herself, I assume.
Of course it was for herself. Nudge, nudge.
Well,
didn't he just murder her?
No, he murdered his sister.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Well, and similarly. Well,
his bad, actually.
Similarly, the guy that decided it'd be a good idea to shoot up a local Waffle House to me.
Yeah.
He had previously been in front of the nice man in the black robe because he had hopped the fence at the White House and had decided that Taylor Swift was stalking him.
Hey, at least it wasn't Jodie Foster this time.
Well, you know, there's that.
Kids ask your folks.
And his parents the firearms that he possessed were given to his parents with explicit orders from the court that he wasn't allowed to have firearms anymore. And they turned around and gave the dude his firearms back.
His father.
Yeah.
Yep. After being told he couldn't do that.
Because he was clinically crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the point I'm trying to make is if they try to choke off buying guns at quote unquote gun stores, there are huge swaths of massive corporations that make only a pittance of their revenue from the actual sales of guns. Places like Cabela's, places like Bass Pro Shops, places like LL Bean. LL Bean is a woman's clothing store. My dad used to work at LL Bean, and that was one of the first things he said to this in training is, yes, the LL Bean, we make the bulk of our money selling women's clothing. And it's just hilarious. Like Abercrombie and Fitch, it used to be Teddy Roosevelt's favorite store for getting outfitted before heading out to Africa. Mm-hmm. But the idea that they could cut it off. I mean, maybe the thing they could do is squeeze these companies, much like how Walmart was squeezed in they're getting smaller and smaller percentage of their revenue from firearm sales. Hey, why don't you just shut down why don't you just abandon the FFLs? That's the only risk that I see on this, because if they shut down and suddenly say you can't buy beef jerky and hiking boots and women's clothing at Cabela's LL Bean, well, there's going to be a lot of squawking going on.
So you wanted me to explain the accuracy of the Altor?
Yes.
Yes.
From their website, under their frequently asked questions, under tumbling bullets / rifling, tumbling bullets are completely normal. There are two reasons for this. First of all, the Altor pistol has an extremely short barrel, only an inch and a half of actual barrel, since the rest of the barrel chamber includes the chamber and the front of the receiver. It is also because we only cut 4 quote micro grooves as rifling strictly for ATF compliance purposes.
Translation, they wouldn't have done it if they weren't made to by law.
Yep.
Correct. Skip forward a little bit. The Altor pistol was only intended to be a close quarters defense weapon or farm tool. According to the FBI data, most gunfights occur in 3 seconds, involve 3 shots, and happen at 3 yards or 9 feet. That was our design goal. Hit a center mass human-sized target at 9 feet, whether the bullet is tumbling or not.
Yeah, but...
About 3 shots, though.
Yeah, 3 shots in 3 seconds out of the Altor. Go.
Well, thankfully, the Altors are very cheap. You can have a brace of them.
Yeah, exactly. You need a brace of Altors.
And appropriately enough, who carried a brace of pistols on a regular basis?
Blackbeard?
Captain Jack Sparrow?
Pirates! Arr! Everyone knows what day it is, don't you?
Oh, it is.
Arr, yes. It is.
Today be September the 19th, International Talk Like a Pirate Day, me hearties. I meant to actually open my initial statement.
I think I saw that was Aaron's cursor in the show notes. I think had the exact same mind as me. We got talking about contributing crime guns and being a bad apple gun dealer. Well, there is a famous person who has contributed to the black market of firearms.
Who could that be? Weird.
That would be. She is, I believe she's a congresswoman, but she is also running for the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass. She had her home robbed and 2 guns taken. So first up, there is her house. She's vehemently anti-gun. I believe I've fisted her in the past. I wasn't able to find it just off the top of my lungs before top of my head before I figured it, you know, just got bored and moved on to something else. But I know, like, when I heard her name, I'm like, oh, I've definitely worked with her as far as anti-gun propaganda goes. So yes, she is vehemently anti-gun. I included several stuff from her own YouTube channel of her talking about gun control.
What's her name?
Karen Bass.
Are you sure that's how it's pronounced? It's not Bass.
I mean, no. Yes, it is. That is how it's pronounced because I have heard her say her name.
Okay.
Yes, but so furthermore, she has two handguns. Ooh, icky evil handguns.
Yeah, that was a question. I mean, she's anti-gun, yet she owns the things she's anti of. What's going on with that?
Well, for thee, but not for me.
Aaron, yeah.
Doesn't Dianne Feinstein have a carry permit?
She sure does.
Well,
so does Chuck Schumer in New York City.
She used to. I understand she doesn't have it anymore and she gave it up. But yes, for the longest time, she was the only person in San Francisco who had a concealed carry permit.
Chuck Schumer still does have a New York City pistol license.
And
rules,
Aaron,
for
who is the most heavily armed person in Bermuda?
That would be Michael Bloomberg when he goes on vacation.
That is cool. No, it's not a vacation. He lives
there. It's not him. He's not armed. It's his bodyguards.
Wait, I legitimately thought he lived in New York City.
Well, he does live in New York
City. He has a residence there, yeah.
He has like 30 homes. But
phrased it made it sound like he lived in Bermuda all the time.
No. But okay. That was back when he was mayor. That was a frequent complaint because he also owns a bunch of private planes. And so he would literally just on a whim hop on a plane and fly to Bermuda. It's like a 90-minute flight. And so he would, you know, he would travel to Bermuda like I travel to Maine just on a whim. I'll just go there and spend a long weekend. And New Yorkers were complaining on the fact that they didn't know when the mayor of their city was even in the country, let alone in the city. And
just think how much damage he did while he was away so much of the time.
Well, I'm just still trying to get over, like, I hate to be this guy and I'm usually not this guy, but who needs more than one private plane? Like, I feel like wherever you end up, the private plane is going to be there.
I mean, well, and if he's flying a lot, they do have to go for maintenance.
Yeah.
But
I will say that
it's not about needs, it's about wants.
I don't know if it's all the time, but he is a licensed pilot. So this, and he is, of course, also alarmingly wealthy. So I believe he collects planes like we collect guns.
That explains it.
But yes, but when he is at his mansion in Bermuda, he has more security than the Prime Minister of Bermuda has.
I believe that he has more security than the current mayor of New York City.
Probably that. Yeah. So the anti-gunners having lots and lots of guns. Of course, you know, I covered the Atlanta Moms Demand Action public speaking event, and Shannon Watts was flanked by two armed bodyguards.
Is it Prime Minister of Bermuda or Governor?
Well, they've got both.
I think it's a Governor General.
Well, yeah, the Governor General is the emissary of the Queen. The Prime Minister is the head of Parliament.
Just minor correction. The Governor General is the emissary of the King.
Oh, yes. I'm so used to saying it because
it's been long before any of us were born.
All of our lives, yes. So.
Yep.
Even before David was born, Queen Elizabeth sat on the throne.
That is true.
But
although, yeah. I was talking with my aunt this week and she was telling about how they all watched when Queen Elizabeth was invested. That was pretty cool. A little bit of history. Moving on.
Well, yeah. No. I want to drill down on one more topic about this Karen Bass theft. And I'm not sure if I can find it right now. But, okay, weird. You can find this if... No, there it is. Aha.
Aha.
So this is her being quoted. At this time, it appears that only two firearms were stolen. cash, electronics, and other valuables were not. So this was a targeted theft. Whoever went in there specifically wanted to steal guns. And, well, I'm not really sure why. You know, it could be just someone who wanted a gun. It could be someone who wanted to make a political point. But the reason I'm bringing this up is this is why it is a bad idea to have a public listing of firearm owners. And I don't exactly remember who it was at what time, but I do recall that both New York State and the state of California have leaked the names and addresses of gun owners in the past, and they'll probably do it again.
Oh, yeah. In New York, I don't know about California, but in New York, Gannett News did a Freedom of Information Act request, and which technically was improper because the request is for individuals, but they got a listing of every handgun permit holder in the city of New York, and they put up an interactive map on their website so that you could go to an address and click on it and see if there were handguns licensed at that address. Oddly enough, there were very few reports on the mass of thefts that occurred shortly thereafter.
Or it could very well be that she had lost the guns previously and just declared them, oh, yeah, I had to break it, and they were stolen recently.
I mean, if that's the case, I would like to... No, I can't even say that with a straight face. I can't even hope that it will come to light in an investigation and she'll face justice. No, that's not going to happen.
No. She's one of the protected class.
I don't know off the top of my head, maybe while I'm saying this, one of you guys could look it up real quick. I don't know if California has or Los Angeles has a safe storage law in place like Massachusetts does and several other states do. But
the Supreme Court ruled safe storage was not allowed.
Yeah. Well, they
it's California.
We're going to start Massachusetts. We're going to talk about New York and their shenanigans very, very soon, David. So don't
I was trying to give you a nice lead in.
Yes, but she openly claims that the guns were safely secured and stored, and you know, which I would apply. She doesn't specify if they were in a safe or if she just had them tucked in a drawer with trigger locks or what she's claiming was there safely secured and stored. But the idea that also they walked past cash, the cash is really strange.
Yeah, that's really suspicious, which is why I suspect there's some sort of motive to it other than just stealing guns.
Yes. Or California does have a safe store.
Or Oddball claimed, this is all a ruse. In which case, it's really, really bad to advertise, yeah, they walked past cash to steal the guns. Yeah. There's definitely something fishy about this.
There is no, like, even if this is a target thing, we're going in to get guns. Yes, maybe they will stay away from jewelry because jewelry, especially if it's unique and valuable pieces, they might be very easily traceable. And while firearms are also easily traceable with their serial number and all that, they are exceptionally valuable on the street and very, very easy to move. But
not as easy to move as cash.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember one day I was walking down the street of Belmont, Massachusetts, and in there was a bank that had like a little recessed alcove before it got to the doors, so that the plate glass windows, and it kind of went in a little bit before the door, and swirling around the little gully on that was a $20 bill. And I just picked it up and I'm like, I got a $20 bill in my hands in the entrance of a bank. And so I just naturally just walked into the bank and said, hey, I just found a $20 bill here on the sidewalk in front of the bank. And the teller looked at me and said, yeah, it's your 20.
Congratulations.
Exactly. We have no way of figuring out who dropped that. You picked it up. It belongs to you. And yeah, so the idea that a thief would break and enter into someone's home, which itself is a crime, steal two firearms, which is even just as much a severe crime, if not more severe crime. I don't know the statutes.
But with firearm theft, that falls under federal, I believe. I think it's a federal felony.
well, among along with, yeah. So you get that.
I think a federal felony is a higher level than a state felony.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they would not take, a couple of $20 bills or a couple of $100 bills and stuff them in their pocket. This is fishy.
Yeah. I mean, either that or it was a family member or something like that.
Oh, that's
remember there was that incident a number of years ago now where some anti-gun politician, her son stole her firearms for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't remember even where it was, but I remember reading about that.
But either way, yes, I thought safe storage laws were illegal. And I mentioned to David about that is the, yes, when the Supreme Court case rules, anti-gun states go, yeah, we're not paying attention. And so
how many divisions does the Supreme Court have?
Yeah. Hey, David, why don't you take the lead on this? Which one's your favorite one to start with?
None of them are my favorite. Well, actually, the last one's my favorite, so I'll save that for last.
Yes.
So, as people may know, New York State during the Revolutionary War was the site of a lot of history. You know, Fort Ticonderoga, Watervliet Arsenal shortly thereafter, Saratoga Battlefield, the list goes on. There's a tremendous amount of Revolutionary War history in New York. The new gun laws signed by Governor Hochul do not make an exception or exemption for historical reenactments. So a number of historical reenactments in New York have canceled because they are concerned that their members would get arrested for violating these new laws.
But David, now, I just saw a thing where the governor said that, I got to use the sarcasm font or derp font. Obviously, this doesn't affect reenactors.
Yep. And Rochester lawyer Sheldon Boyce Jr., who is a Second Amendment specializing lawyer, said there is no carve-out in the law for historical events. And to quote him, Hochul saying they're going to pass new legislation to exempt the enactments, the lawyer told the outlet, but so far I have not seen an actual bill that's been signed by the governor. So her opinion is just that, her opinion. The law says what the law says.
Well, wasn't there also another reenactment group that was contacted by the police?
Yes, that was, where was that one? Herkimer County Sheriff's Department. So Herkimer County is in central New York, and the sheriff of Herkimer County, Scott Scherer, told the paper, "Our attorneys advise us there is no exemption in the law for Civil War reenactments. It would be illegal according to the letter of the governor's law." Of course, there was also the Battle of Plattsburgh reenactment was almost canceled after they were warned by the state that the event could violate the new law. The only reason that it wasn't canceled was because local law enforcement said they would not arrest anyone officially tied to it. But again, the state, not local law enforcement, the state told them they could only fire cannon, not muskets. Think about that for a moment, folks.
But I thought you weren't allowed to buy cannons during revolutionary times.
And also, I thought that the founding fathers could only envision muskets. And so when they said shall not be infringed, they meant shall not infringe on muskets.
And to quote Governor Hochul, if you want us to go back to muskets, we can go back to muskets. Yeah, so that's one thing.
And then
thing
we go
right
back
there
to muskets. He says, ew, I didn't mean it.
Yeah. The next story is a little bit more localized to New York City, and this is having to do with the no gun zones in New York City. So the area, quote unquote, surrounding Times Square from 40th Street to 53rd Street. That's over half a mile, folks. So 40th Street to 53rd Street and 9th Avenue to 6th Avenue, which is about a third of a mile. So half a mile north to south, third of a mile east to west, is a gun-free zone. That is considered the Times Square something area. I forget the actual term they use for that. And the article states that they are going to be, they are actually, this is, the article was from just about a week ago. Oh, so I was actually in New York while this article came up. Hooray. But they're going to have signs: licensed gun carriers and others may not enter unless otherwise specifically authorized by law. Violation of this prohibition is a felony.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't on in the Times Square area around that time, I don't think.
Who is "and other"?
That means criminals.
Because licensed criminals are famous for following the law.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. They're going to be like, oh, darn.
Yeah, now, this particular article was put up by Ammoland, so the language is a little bit more angry than a traditional news source, so I'm not going to quote as much from it. But yeah, so they're putting up this signage, and clearly in violation of the statements in Knife River versus Bruin that you can't make the entire area a sensitive zone. But what's interesting in this article, for the month of July 2022, the number of overall shooting incidents increased in New York City compared with July 2021. Citywide, shooting incidents increased by 13.4%, 178 to 157. Additionally, the number of murders citywide increased for the month by 34.3% compared to the same period last year, 47 versus 35. That's despite arrests and firearm seizures also being up, because overall crime has increased approximately 30% since that same time in 2021.
Well, you did say it reminded you of the 70s, and I remember just enough of the 70s that New York was just a hellhole of crime at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a cesspool, but it was a very crime-riddled cesspool.
Was that like the inspiration for Escape from New York, or was that around that same time?
It absolutely
was. Yeah. 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 I mean, well, honestly, they could have filmed many of those scenes in the South Bronx without any set dressing required. The only problem was, if they had filmed those scenes in the Bronx, they wouldn't have gotten out with their cameras.
And think about the movie Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah. There was a whole series of movies about crime in New York at that time. I mean, honestly, that was part of the origin of the Death Wish movies, because it wasn't just New York at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was every major city.
That was a zeitgeist of films, because you also had, there was a million and one movies that came out in the late 80s and early 90s, where it was the new designer drug hitting the streets, and that was just a parallel to the crack epidemic. This new form of cocaine was becoming very prevalent on the streets, and it was causing a whole lot of problems. And so they just assumed that the future would be this designer drug and this designer drug and this designer drug. And same thing with this was, the urban cities are getting more and more crime ridden and decaying. And so this is where we're going.
Yep. But yeah, so New York is not just ignoring NYSERDA versus Bruin, they are flipping the bird to the Supreme Court. What you're going to do about it?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, in some cases, it seems like they're bending over, dropping their trousers, and saying, "I dare you to spank me again, Daddy."
Yeah, and I just want Thomas to metaphorically rip off his shirt and say, "Okay, New York, bite the curb."
Well, I mean, there are several lawsuits that are going ahead. I mean, there's already something called Bruin 2, and yes. Well, okay, I'll let you talk about that. But also, you need to talk about the New York synagogues filing.
I will get to that in a moment. I'm saving that for dessert, because there is one more vegetable that I have to eat.
Okay,
so. For our listeners who remember that I did under duress the segment on the updated New York pistol licensing process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking one for the team on that one.
It was not fun. And I mentioned that at that time, there was no report on what the cost of the 16-hour class would be.
We speculated it was going to be hefty, though.
Yes. Well, I found a listing for a New York State concealed carry permit course by a company called Darkstorm Industries.
Hold on, David. Before that, let's just tie in a little bit of humor onto this vegetable. On the David, how high is the cost going to be? Cue Snoop Dogg / Willie Nelson meme.
There you go.
Yes, because the total cost of the course will be $795.
Oops, that's not a loan. That's plus the cost of registration.
That is not the licensing cost. That is just the cost for the class. Your license can still get denied after that.
Now, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't sound like the government mandated price. That sounds like crony capitalism in action. You know, well, I'm going to price this really high and see how many people pay for it. Is that correct, or am I mistaken?
I don't know yet. I have been trying to find out what is the actual state cost, how much of that $795 is the state getting, and I haven't been able to find firm numbers yet.
Well, when you mandate 18 hours, it's not going to be cheap.
No.
Right. I was going to say, to make it worth the while of the trainers.
Yeah, because that's 2 days of instructor time.
I'm just trying to figure out how much culpability the New York State government has, and whether this was just, you know, the first order effect or a second order effect.
Yeah, I don't know yet. It's something I've been trying to find out, but this is the first place I've seen actually list the price. But just think about this. Someone who wants to apply for a pistol license has to take off at least 2 days of work and pay $800 on top of that. Who's that going to affect the least? The wealthy. Yeah. Who's that going to affect the most? The people the Democrat rulers of New York claim to care the most about, the poor.
Yeah.
So once again, these types of laws by either party, but in this case we're talking gun control, which is unfortunately a major plank of the Democrat Party. But once again, these types of laws primarily impact the people at the lower end of the economic scale. But I'm going to have my dessert now because I think I've earned it. I ate all the vegetables.
Yes, you were a good boy, David.
Thank you. Didn't even have cheese sauce on the vegetables. So Aaron had mentioned the number of lawsuits, and that could probably be a roundtable all in of itself again, because more of them have come to light since our last... Actually, that was a mag dump with lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
But we could probably do another one with all different lawsuits. And one of them is a New York Jewish group is suing the state of New York for banning guns in houses of worship. The New York State Jewish Gun Club is suing New York because of this unconstitutional restriction. And it's just like, okay, there is the stereotype of the New York Jew being anti-gun, and there is unfortunately a lot of truth to that. But I love the fact that this is showing that it's not all of us. There are a lot of Jews outside of New York City who are nearly as pro-gun as I am. I'm not sure if there are any Jews in New York who are quite as pro-gun as I am, but some of them come close, I'm sure. So Zvi Waldman, the founder of the New York Jewish Gun Club, is working with a civil rights attorney to challenge a provision of the New York Concealed Carry Improvement Act, prohibiting congregants from carrying guns inside places of worship, among other sensitive locations. And the quote, the pull quote, the Second Amendment is not a second-class right. Didn't somebody else say that recently in some type of judicial ruling?
It does sound familiar.
Yeah. And Republican Lee Zeldin, who is currently running for governor of New York State, and there are some things with Lee that I'm not a huge fan of, but when it comes to guns, he has been a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment for as long as I've been aware of him. So any New York listeners, keep that in mind going forward once the primaries are over. But he is quoted as saying, violent criminals could not care less about gun-free zones. They see them as easier targets. This is especially dangerous for Jewish New Yorkers who are experiencing an alarming rise in anti-Semitic violence with far too few consequences for those committing the violence. Now, if you take a look at the hate crime or racially religious motivated crime, the number one victim of those crimes is Jewish, and number two isn't close. So it's tragic that the synagogues, which have, there have been a number of attacks on New York synagogues in the past couple of years, and they're being disarmed in the midst of it. In fact, the article goes on to state that according to the FBI's data, New York has witnessed a more than 300% increase in anti-Semitic hate crimes in the first 3 months of 2022 compared with last year. 300% increase. And it was high last year. So, and it's not just shootings, it's stabbings, it's beatings, it's whatever other way they can find to kill us. So
it's not something we can ban our way out of.
Unless we can effectively ban criminals.
We've been trying for thousands of years. Hasn't worked yet.
Nope. Nope. But making good people defenseless will not make bad people harmless. So there we go. That was my vegetable platter and my dessert.
Real quick question. Have you guys recently talked about the standard procedure of the Ninth Circuit, and I believe the Third Circuit has also done this to a couple gun cases in the past month or so,
where they've referred it back down even further?
Right.
Yeah, we talked about that. I think that was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, that really pisses me off that they're doing that, because it's just purely a delay tactic.
Oh yeah. But it's a good chance, I'd like to think it's a good chance, that it will come back and bite them when the courts finally have to admit that, yes, the Supreme Court did rule on Bruin.
Oh yeah, and the case dealing with the California assault weapons ban, Judge Benitez, when the state of California asked for a year to come up with new arguments, his response was, yeah, no.
You have 10 days.
Yeah.
I would like to see more Judge Benitez is saying, you know what? Until you come to a decision, this law doesn't exist.
Well, I mean, I would love to as well, but him putting a stay on his own ruling, knowing that the appeals court is going to pick it up and deal with it, unfortunately, I think that's the correct decision.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Correct decision doesn't matter if we like it.
Yeah. So speaking of which, I see somebody put on here about the latest win from Mr. Heller.
Long may he reign.
May I say, I bumped into Dick Heller at the Charter Arms booth, because he's friends with the CEO of Charter Arms. And I kept trying to tell him like how much I was fanboying out, that I'm just like, he just walked up and just started talking. I looked at his main tag and it was like Dick Heller on it. I'm like, wait, are you kidding me? You're Dick Heller?
You're,
and
he's just like, Dick Heller?
Like, he's just like, I'm just a dude. And that was the end of it. Like,
weird, just to clarify, did you fangirl as much over Dick Heller as Ryan did over talking to Oleg?
Well, I didn't witness Ryan talking to Oleg, but I've heard his recount, and no, not even close.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. You would have embarrassed yourself.
So continue, Oddball.
Well, I didn't want to step on anyone's toes, but I will happily take this one. But apparently, I was unaware of this, but there, the city of Washington, D.C., in their mad scramble to figure out how to deal with the last time Dick Heller saw him in court, passed a law saying that you could only carry 20 rounds of ammo on you.
Yep.
So not only, you know, what was the, you know, not only is there a capacity limit of how many rounds in a magazine you could have in the gun.
10.
But you could, right, 10 rounds. But that also meant that you could only carry one spare magazine. If you carried two, well, that's
yes. A no-no.
And so if you tucked a box of ammo in your back pocket?
Yeah, I'll say right now, I was carrying around my 365 and with my Massachusetts band compliant magazines. And so I had a magazine in the gun, I had a magazine in my pocket, and there was a round in the chamber.
Yes,
that's what I was right. My point was gonna be. So someone in DC who has that impossible to get license, they put in their 10-round magazine, chamber around and top off the magazine, and have a spare full 10-round magazine, they're in violation of the law.
Yep.
Because that would be 21 rounds, and that extra one round obviously makes them a mass murderer.
So, but fortunately, the courts have decided, yeah, no, that doesn't work. You are allowed to carry multiple spare magazines on you.
Now, if only they would get rid of the magazine capacity limit as a next step.
Yes, I agree with you completely, and that may be coming.
Okay, I actually have to do a point of order here. Wasn't the result of the court's ruling that you could carry more magazines. DC actually caved. It gave in. It stopped fighting the lawsuit. I mean, the court then enforced it, but the DC basically went, yeah, they filed this under Bruin. We're not going to win. Let's just save time and taxpayers' money and not fight it. And that is just the delicious icing on the cake. Mwah!
And
yes.
As was pointed out, there's the whole thing of that means you couldn't go buy a box of ammunition and walk out the store with it, because
I'm curious about the actual wording of that law.
Fair.
Because it may be in magazines for defensive purposes or something like that.
Fair.
Or ammunition, what is that? Ammunition feeding devices.
Yeah.
Whatever phrasing they use.
But again, it's another example of, these anti-gun areas are trying to throw everything they can at the wall to see if any of it will stick. And fortunately, in this case, DC went, oh, yeah, we've been down this road before and we got spanked. Let's not do that again. Which, yes, warms the cockles of my heart.
Language.
But just to tie a bow on it, now, DC still has the magazine capacity limit. You can only carry 10 rounds in a magazine, although you can now carry as many magazines as you want. However, law is now being challenged in another lawsuit brought by the same person.
Which is just
what's he challenging? The magazine capacity?
Yes.
Yes.
Ah, there you go. Good man.
So it remains to be seen whether or not DC is just going to give up or it's going to need to be challenged. But, you know, as said before, nothing succeeds like success. And now this guy has got the momentum of two court cases behind him, his own personal one plus Bruin.
Yeah. Yep. And the magazine capacity, I think, has the thing of there's prior court cases saying that, yes, magazine capacity is kosher, but that was before Bruin, which changed
everything.
Yeah.
Well, folks, it's getting pretty late. I'm about to turn into a pumpkin, so I'm going to have to call it a night. I got to be up in the morning, but I'll see you guys later.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. I think we're wrapping up because I am equally pumpkinning.
Yep. Jake, I look forward to hearing more of your segments in the future.
Thank you very much. I've got one more. I got one more in the queue. So hopefully it should be on the next episode, unless you get a sudden surplus of segments.
Yep. No, that is the plan. I'll work that as a segue because I have. There is a segment from Jake coming up on the next episode, as well as a segment by me, a Weird Audio Fisk, and I'm taking it off of the Brady Campaigns podcast, of which I am a regular listener. And I suspect, is it safe to say that none of you guys listen to any of these?
No, we have more self-respect.
Yeah, but either way, I just wanted to talk about these. Just, yeah, I didn't expect you to listen to them, and yeah, you guys probably wouldn't enjoy it the same way I do, but oh my God, the sweet, sweet tears. So I'm referencing the Red, Blue, and Brady podcast, episode 202 and 203, and they are doing a retrospective of the 1994 assault weapons ban, and oh my God, did it make me happy, because they start off going, oh, in episode 202. So we're normally talking about tragic things. We're talking about deaths. We're talking about, you know, trying to get a bill passed. We're, you know, it is sad, miserable stuff, which is something Aaron and I have talked about for ages, about the fact that anti-gunners just are a depressed and miserable lot, because all they're doing is dancing in the blood of innocent people. And so they said, well, we're going to talk about something good, which was the passage of the 1994 assault weapons ban. And so they talked about all the efforts that they did and all of the things. And it's interesting to hear, because there was a lot more grassroots effort before the 1994 assault weapons ban went through. And then after that was the high watermark of the anti-gunner, still to this date. That was the darkest hour of gun owners in America, and it has been better ever since. But
you mentioned that they said they were talking about a good thing. Did they just sort of neglect the part where it was sunset 10 years later?
Well, that's the punchline. Is they were talking about, oh, we did this, we were successful, this is so wonderful, this is so good, and then it all went away. And they were just, it ends with them just crying in their beer, talking about how angry and frustrated and saddened they are about it being sunsetted. And of course, also they're doing the sour grapes of the, you know, our representatives aren't doing the right thing for us. It's one of those like, no, you guys are like trying to pass an assault weapons ban like right now, and it's not looking good. You know, there's still a threat to it, but it's one of those, they've tried to pass a million and one assault weapons bans since then, and the only places where it has any sort of even Massachusetts, we have a super nasty ultra enhanced assault weapons ban, and it was done by our attorney general, like completely illegally, just suddenly saying, you know what, I've decided the law means what I think it means. And there was
New York.
Yeah. There was no passage. There was no nothing. They couldn't get the legislators to sit down and strengthen our gun laws. The last time they tried to do that, to try to put stronger gun laws in place, the Gun Owners Action League of Massachusetts jumped in and made it better. And there was a little bit of give, but there was a whole lot of take. And so, yeah, I just wanted to point out the fact that like these two episodes talking about the assault weapons ban, they try to spin it as this is our greatest success. And it is the anti-gunner's greatest success. And all they end up doing is crying in their beer with it. And I found it delicious.
Yes. 28 years ago was their greatest success.
Mm-hmm.
So, mwahaha.
Yes. So, who put this last article in?
I did. So, Aaron Hoge, the president of Hoge Incorporated, that makes Hoge grips and Hoge knives.
Was he the founder?
No, his father was.
Okay. I didn't think he was. I didn't know how old he was.
Also apparently a aircraft enthusiast and enjoyed racing jet aircraft. You'll notice I'm using the past tense. Unfortunately, he recently during a race got too low and crashed and died.
Those kind of crashes are generally fatal. Yeah. Unfortunately.
I mean, the way they described it, you know, he hit the ground and it bounced, you know, shedding pieces as it rolled.
And there was a mention of a fireball and
all we can hope for is that it was quick.
Yeah. And the organization put out a bulletin ensuring that nobody else was injured. Unfortunately, he passed away. And so, I know a lot of our listeners probably have products from the Hogue Company. Mm-hmm. I know I have a couple, including a couple of their knives, great knives. Thoughts and prayers go out to family members and friends.
Yep. It was only a few years ago that we lost, was it Noveski in a car accident?
Yeah, I think so. I did also want to mention, we had talked about it. We wanted to mention before we ended this particular show about the, if you haven't heard about the lawsuit against KE Arms, they are being sued. KE Arms are the folks that currently make a polymer lower for AR-15s and actually 9mm variants. Our partners in the What Would Stoner Do project. They are being sued by the folks that previously owned the mold that they based their lower off of. And I don't know how much detail we want to go into, but the lawsuit is completely frivolous because the previous company isn't manufacturing anything right now and did not have any IP claims over.
I don't understand how it's been allowed to go on this long, honestly. It's just there's this one guy who keeps on throwing money to keep it going.
Unfortunately, that's the way if you know what you're doing, you can draw a lawsuit out for a long period of time. Quite frankly, given the timeline that I've seen so far, it really hasn't, as far as legal proceedings go, hasn't been that long. I believe it's only been a few months.
I think it's been over a year.
Has it? Okay.
I believe so. Yeah. It's only come out recently. I think because it's become known to KE Arms about this gentleman who is the investor. And I've got the video of Runkle the Bailey, who is a Canadian firearms lawyer, so therefore not connected to this in any way, shape, or form, and therefore also not affected by this. He is essentially detailing what's in GWAX Armory's gag order against KE Arms.
Their gag order, they were very specific about what they didn't want said.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which makes, as he said, makes that now a matter of public record.
Yes. It is very very similar to when magicians say, I don't want anyone stealing my tricks, so I'm going to make a I'm going to patent my trick so no one can steal it. Well, when you patent it, you have to have detailed drawings of what makes the trick,
or at the very least detailed descriptions. Yeah,
right.
They have all the details, and essentially the truth that they don't want you to know about is that this benefactor that is essentially keeping this lawsuit going is not someone interested in firearms, is not interested in developing firearms, is not interested in investing for the purpose of money, but is someone
who wants to drive a gun company out of business.
Yes, there's some references to he's a hunter. So he is the prototypical FUD that is the, you only need what guns you can shoot ducks and deer with. And the KE Arms is making AR-15s. They have a claim, whether frivolous or not, to these, to the, to these this system, so they're going to sue them and essentially try to drive them out of business, so they won't be making AR-15s anymore.
Right. And just to be clear, and I'm blanking out on the name of the company that originally made these lowers.
That's Cav Arms.
Cav Arms, thank you.
Yeah,
that Cav was just... Arms, a company called Cav Arms, were the folks that actually originally developed these polymer lowers, et cetera, and they never put out patents, et cetera.
Actually,
well, and yes, go ahead.
Ian does a video that the polymer monolithic lower concept went back to the 1960s with Colt.
Right.
But you are right that Cav Arms were the ones who first came up with a workable monolithic polymer lower.
Right. And basically, GWAX bought the molds from Cav Arms when Cav Arms went under. And
which produced, is a whole different story.
Right. And produced as many lowers as they could before the molds wore out.
Yep.
And then said, yeah, we're not interested in spending the gobs of money that it would take to produce a new mold, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think have produced a product in years.
Yeah.
And
GWAX, because Cav was gone by then.
Right.
Well, I believe also Cav Arms may have fallen afoul with the ATF with some,
like I said, the whole Cav Arms thing, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, right. I think it's safe to say that it was some fairly well documented sloppy practices. I believe the
Cav Arms crossed some lines. ATF said you can't make guns anymore. Cav Arms sold the molds to GWAX, but the guy who developed those molds did not get hired by GWAX.
Correct.
He actually did his own thing for a while, and then after GWAX disappeared, he was hired by KE Arms.
Right. And at KE Arms, they developed new molds, and in fact, they improved on the old mold, the old lowers design, et cetera, et cetera, and came out with the new polymer lowers that, from all accounts, are dramatically superior to the Cav Arms design. And GWAX is now trying to claim that there were trade secrets and IP issues and this, that, and the other, when all they ever had access to was a mold.
The feeling I get from this is that the lawsuit, they aren't suing them in the hope to win. They are suing them in the hope to bankrupt them by legal fees.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
The guy behind who's funding the GWAX lawsuit has basically admitted as such, which is part of the gag order, where he documents that.
Well, and also, it reminds me a lot of if any of our listeners are in the IT world and have been around long enough to...
So many possibilities there.
...to know about the patent trolls in the IT world, where the entire... company's model is to sue other companies in hopes that they're enough of a nuisance that the other company simply settles.
Yep.
Instead of ever getting to court. Unfortunately, KE Arms, being a very small company, is running out of money quickly because, unfortunately, lawyers are expensive.
Yeah, and even if they were a larger gun company, even larger gun companies are still fairly small companies.
Right. And even though this hasn't seen the inside of courtroom yet, lawyers are still expensive before you get to that point. So they are doing some sales on their website. They're doing some deals. And they are selling some things on their website that are grossly overpriced, purely for the in an attempt to raise money. And
yeah, they're fundraiser items, basically. Yeah,
I'll say right now, I had full I saw Ian did a video on this saying that, you know, hey, just so you know, they need some money, so if you want to toss some money their way, they're not doing any crowdfunding and all that. Obviously, you can go in and buy yourself a lower or some handguards or some, you know, some rifle bits for it. But also, if you're in a place that can't do it, or you're not interested in any of that, or you just want to give them a bunch of money, they have overpriced bottle openers, was specifically the words that Ian used. And we got talking about this before the show, and I was, oh, I forgot to look that up, because I said to myself, you know what, I'm gonna buy myself an overpriced bottle opener, so long as it's not ridiculous. You know, I'm willing to throw some bread in their jar. And I found the 2A aluminum goblin on their website. It's $50. I don't know if that's with shipping or all of that, but $50 seems like a nice little donation to them. Yep. I did not realize the form factor of this bottle opener. But this bottle opener has two finger holes in it. For stability purposes, and
be able to maneuver it properly on the bottle. Any other use is completely unjustified.
Correct. I mean, you know, just
oh,
because
I get it now.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of brass novelty paperweights that yes. You may be able to buy at gas stations and various things.
Right.
And so, yeah, that might fit over your fingers and brace against your palm, which I will say that Hard to Hurt did a review of various such things that I'm being coy about since we've started off being coy, and noted that, yeah, they're really not that effective as weapons. They don't really boost the ability of your fist as much as you'd think. But either way,
you'd be better off with a roll of nickels.
Exactly. But it's hilarious, so I'm freaking buying one. And if you guys want, you could do so too. We get the link in the show notes, or you could just look up KER.
Yeah, you can buy me one. That's fine.
Yeah, and similarly,
you should buy one for everyone in ACP.
they have a Defend 2A KP15 patch for the low price of $25.
They also have the item that I really want to buy from them.
Oh yeah, and the
five pack of lowers.
Well, you do have your crush washers now.
That is true.
See, you think you're helping.
We don't.
I will have to say, I have been eyeing that polymer lower variety pack that they have.
Yeah, which is, I think it's 3.556 form factor and 3.9mm. Or something
three,
like that?
3.556 and 2.
No, oh, two, okay. So it's also five. I thought it was, yeah. But yeah.
For a little bit under $1,500.
Yeah. Hey, at least the five pack of all 5.56 is under a grand.
And quite frankly, these are complete lowers, including yes. buttstock. So that yeah. price really isn't out of line.
No, and for the five pack of KP15, it's complete lowers. So
right.
It's literally, you could pop an upper on it, you're ready to go, because it's of course the monolithic polymer lower, which has the trigger guard, pistol grip, and shoulder stock, but it also has the buffer and spring, it has the fire control groups, it has the bolt hold open, it has the magazine release, it has the pins. And you're getting five of them for $900.
Yeah, that's honestly not a bad deal at all.
Yeah, so you know, if you and say a short squad of your friends all want to build similar ARs, that's a pretty good deal.
So there, check out the show notes on that, and we are all rapidly turning into pumpkins. It is getting late.
Speak for yourself.
And so, yeah. So
yeah, I'm
not gonna
turn into a pumpkin. I'm still thinking about ice cream.
No. Well, you can't have ice cream until we've thanked our listeners, David. And yeah. So I'm going to thank our listeners. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate this. And a very special thanks to all our supporters on Patreon. To be on Patreon, go to patreon.com/SortedCalibersPodcast to sign up. And just like KE Arms, we're not just begging for your charity. We're selling stuff. You can get an early release of the podcast. You get bonus content like the blooper reels, the ACP film tracks, the ACP mag dump. And hey, guess what? When you sign up, you get access to all the back catalogs. So it's not just, you're not just buying them one at a time. You're getting more than you can listen to. So there's that.
Yeah, what he said.
Now I want ice cream.
Right.
Also, please remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us on the platform of your choice, and share the show with your friends, both online and off. And please bring me Irish cream brownie ice cream.
You can get more from me at my blog, which is weirdworld.com. And you can also hear me and Aaron Paulette on Handgun Radio on the Firearms Radio Network.
It's just the once. It's not like I'm going to be, you know, the third host on the show. That would just be crazy.
Although,
no,
they did claim to just want Oddball and I to show up for one show, and we've both done multiple shows now.
Oh, I don't mind doing multiple shows. It's just
being a co-host. Yeah,
Ryan Chad is a very sweet man, but for someone younger than me, he's a boomer. He's a Luddite in terms of technological aptitude.
He's technologically impaired.
I'm honestly shocked he was able to get online.
That's only because I showed him a couple times and did it once or twice for him.
You're probably going to have to show him at least once a month, you realize.
So, Aaron.
And this whole Ryan Machat is a very nice man. You must have met a different Ryan Machat. Yeah.
No, he was an absolute sweetheart to me. I mean, maybe you're just unlikable.
I'm a delight.
I don't know. If nothing else, we united in basically kicking Weird in the nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I loved every second of it. So yeah. Where else can we find you, Aaron?
You can get more nut-kicking goodness from me at linktree.com/AaronPaulette. That's linktree.ee/AaronPaulette, all one word.
And David, where can we find you?
Well, obviously right here, occasionally on Handgun Radio. I am also a contributor on Blue Collar Prepping, which can be found at bluecollarprepping.blogspot.com. And I also have some short stories published that can be found on Amazon under the name Brenna Bach, B-R-E-N-A Bach.
Like the machine gun.
Ish.
Ish.
Oddball, where can people find you?
Besides here.
Rooting around in the dumpster behind the gun shop?
Well, yeah, there's that. I swear I will write a blog post at some point on GunsCardsTech.com and on the Assorted Calibers Facebook group.
And we'd like to also thank Jake for coming with us. He had an early call, so he bailed out early because we've gone way late. And I would like to thank Nate Spencer for our music.
Yes. I was wondering if you were going to remember Nate.
And I historically don't do a this is a thing and this is the other thing and it's assorted and so is a podcast on things like whatever this is. Roundtables. It's just too crazy. I just don't do it because, as Weird will attest, sometimes it takes me a while to do the magics, and he doesn't mind waiting, but y'all will just be, there's silence, I've got to fill it!
Silence must be filled.
So good night, everyone.
So our tolerance for silence is assorted, and so is our podcast.
You motherfucker!
Good night, everybody!
Oh.
There's a good bleep.
Good night, folks.
Good night, everyone.